When you hear of a popular brand success like Skims, Rode, Rare Beauty, or Aloe Yoga, you may think that all just comes from having a great product. But most people don't realize that it's the business behind the business that drives that success. There's an overlooked secret that makes selling and shopping simple. And that secret is Shopify. So the secret's out. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. It's the home of the number one checkout on the planet, meaning way less carts abandoned and way more sales going. I've been using it myself for 2 years with my own brand of women's feminine clothing and lingerie, so I know what the hype is all about. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/forthegirls.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today's episode was really different for us and a lot of fun as I interviewed Carolyn Moore, who, in my opinion, was the front runner leading lady of this season of Joe Millionaire, which was a dating show on Fox. And it was the first season in today's age, but Joe Millionaire was a super old show that they did a while ago. So it's technically not the first time that it came out, but this was the first season of the new rendition, super updated. If you guys have been following me for a while, you know I used to be a huge fan of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and I would post about it and things like that, but I got over that show a few years ago. And so when this was coming out, I figured, let's give this show a try. Let's see if something new can be entertaining. And this show certainly was entertaining, to say the least. And Carolyn stood out to me because, yes, like I said, she was definitely considered the front runner in my opinion. But she just had an amazing energy about her, and she really knew her worth and took no bullshit. And she's an entrepreneur. So I had looked up her brand, I looked into it all, and it was really cool because she has something very special that she offers, and she is a single mom, and she's killing it in her business, and she's having a lot of fun dating, and she went on reality TV, so it was really, really, really nice to chat with her, and I just figured, why not give it a try, whatever, if she doesn't answer, because this isn't exactly a pop culture podcast, I figure at least it doesn't hurt to ask, right? Because she fits right in with the guests that I have here on For the Girls. So it was a lot of fun talking to her. And like I said, different because we do get into the behind the scenes of a reality TV show, how she got on the show, what it was like, how it went down after. So you guys are going to get to hear from Carolyn in both a professional and a personal way. And she just shares so much insight, especially about knowing your worth and taking no shit. But before we get into the episode, I wanted to share that I have been opening up consulting sessions. If you have not seen that I've been sharing this for the past couple of weeks, I'm really excited about this because consulting is something that I did a few months ago, a while ago, honestly, and then took a break from it because I just simply did not prioritize it enough to do it consistently. But now I am definitely taking this on much more full time. I have many areas of expertise, which you can see the whole list when you submit a form. So I will put the link to apply for consulting in the show notes. You could also find that link in my Instagram bio, probably on my Instagram stories. I post it every day, as well as in my TikTok bio. And it's a lot of fun getting to work with you girls and help you all on a much deeper level. So many of you give me such amazing feedback just from listening to the podcast, where I just talk so generally and broadly about like all these different topics, but there's nothing like getting to work with you all one-on-one, specifically about your own situations and what you're going through. So I've had an amazing past few weeks taking this back on and prioritizing it in my schedule. And yeah, so if there's anyone out there that I can help in any areas of my expertise, please, please, please feel free to submit an application because I will be more than happy to work with you. And I really cannot wait to get to know more people in this community a whole lot better.
Okay, everyone, I am so excited for you all to meet today's guest, Carolyn Moore. I'm really excited about this one because she's our first reality TV person, someone who came from being on a show. I watched Joe Millionaire that she was on, and she was my for sure favorite running gal. So welcome, Carolyn. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Carolyn. Thank you for having me. And I'm really glad that we're finally getting on here. I know we've been trying to connect and stuff, but yeah, I was on Joe Millionaire recently. That was a wild ride, as you may know, since you were on the show before. But I learned a lot about myself, and I would definitely do it all over again. So
wow. That's it. You might be the only person I've ever heard say that, that you would do it all over again. I feel like every single time, including myself, that people will ask someone like, would you ever do another show? Whatever. I was like, fuck no.
I think it's because, I had done a lot of like self-development and healing beforehand, and I was completely true to myself the entire process. There was nothing I would have taken back or done differently. I think there was a lot of things that I got to put into, I guess, play from the practice I was doing beforehand with all my self-development, all my healing, you know, post-divorce and other things I was healing from, that when it came to the end of the experience, I left there with my head held high because I was like, there's nothing I could have done differently. I was completely true to myself. And if that wasn't enough, then, you know, this wasn't for me. So
no, that you really, you nailed it. Like you can only be yourself, and then that's it. If it doesn't work out, it truly wasn't meant to be. And we'll get into all of that. But first, I want to hear about your brand, because I think that's something that stood out to me when you were on the show. You know, it was clear that you have your own skincare brand. And then I checked it out, and I thought that was really interesting because it seems like a one product type of situation, like a standalone brand. So tell me about your brand and how that all came to be.
Line and Loki. I started Line and Loki right after I gave birth to my son. And Lion and Loki is actually named after my son, whose name is Lion. His name is actually Lionel, but he goes by Lion. And then my dog Loki. And it was like, Afterglow is the name of the product, my hero product right now. And the definition of Afterglow is like this wonderful feeling that happens after, like it's a real experience. And I think that's what I felt after birth. It was just like this immense amount of love, both for my son and for my dog. With her being my first pet. But I started with this first product initially for one result, which was to avoid and prevent the appearance of stretch marks. But as I got along my postpartum process before I launched my product, as I was using it postpartum, I decided that I wanted to be more expansive than just preventing the appearance of stretch marks. I wanted it to cover a lot of, you know, results and benefits, because learning as I was becoming a mom, you have very little time to take care of yourself, but it's very, very important to do so. So I started to really like understand the importance of self-care. So when I launched my product about 3 or 4 months postpartum, I launched it with, you know, the purpose of it being multi-use. So, you know, to replace your moisturizer, your eye serum, and your night cream, and leave it at a really easy 3-step routine, which was to cleanse, tone, and to apply my oil. My serum. So, you know, with using my serum, you're going to be able to, you know, prevent the appearance of stretch marks and scars. It's good for hyperpigmentation, to even your skin tone. And it just gives you like an overall like glow. And that's pretty much where like my business started, was just being able to share this gift of like, you know, I want the busy modern woman to be focused on what they're doing, whether it's like they're a corporate woman, they're an artist, they are an entrepreneur, they're a mom. I want them to be focused on their craft, but I also want them to know that they can't pour from an empty cup. So they have to take care of themselves first. And this is why I provided such a simple, like 3-step skincare routine. And that's kind of where it all started.
Wow. So it truly started from your own personal experience. Like this wasn't something that you always imagined, this specific product, at least, like it was something that came to be where you're just like, this is something I could personally use. And if this could help me, I know it could help others. And so you were able to transition into that, which is amazing. So was this your first entrepreneurial experience, or have you always been a business owner? Tell me about that.
This was my first entrepreneurial experience. I've always I was in school and I wanted to do graphic design at one point, and then I was going to do law, and I stopped midway to travel and to really just learn more about myself. And I've always had I would say pretty cool jobs. And I've always been a go-getter, but this was very much my very first entrepreneurial experience. And I actually didn't finish business school. So I was thinking to myself, I can give and dedicate myself 2 more years to finish business school, or I can just throw myself in there. And that's always pretty much been how I've handled life, is just I'm hands-on learner. To sit there and study, and I'm a horrible test taker. And to subject myself to, I'm smart, but when it comes to tests and stuff, failing, to lower my self-confidence and my self-esteem, why do that when I can learn as I go with building a business? And I know that's not the traditional way of doing it, but I thought for me that worked best. I invest my money in my business, invest my time in my business versus, learning how to do it from a textbook or a professor. And I've been able to meet so many people that I've been able to learn from. Yeah, that's pretty much how that whole entire journey started.
Yeah. I just had this conversation with someone the other day where we were just talking about, I think it had to do with business and marketing and whatever. And I was saying, no offense to whoever's listening, I was saying it's actually quite bizarre that people study business in 2022, reading out of a 2001 textbook when it's so outdated. There's nothing about social media in these things. We live in a different world. You have to literally just get out there. I am very grateful for my college experience. I studied PR, which is totally different than doing business. But when it comes to business, doing things like this, starting a podcast, having a brand that it hasn't launched yet, but that I'm still reinvesting more and more and more and more and more into, realizing that it takes over a year for your brand to actually come out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, a textbook would have never taught me this shit. Right. I would have never learned this. And so just getting out there is the best thing. And it's funny because I was saying that to her as her daughter is about to go into college. And I'm like, but no offense, because your money is totally worth putting her in college. I'm like, put her in school, do it. But that's just my take on it. But we were literally just having this conversation because there's nothing like real world experience. So that's great. Would you say, because I know I could say for myself what partially my end goal was, but would you say that part of the reason why you went on Joe Millionaire was for exposure and brand and things like that?
I mean, that was definitely the very appealing side to it, but it wasn't my full purpose because I didn't, the exposure, obviously it's great, but I didn't need that type of exposure or that type of attention to bring attention to my brand. I already have it going to where it's going. I'm working on bringing on a partner and I have very good connections already before the show. I have been dating post-divorce and it's been fun. Dating is really fun and it's great. I am all about experiences. And I think that's why I took that route with my entrepreneurial journey, is I wanted it to be an experience. Apart from the finding love on TV, is also the exposure. So why not, try this avenue of dating? If I've tried the other avenues and I'm single and, it's kind of going in blind. And I think my number one focus was actually just meeting, whether it was the people that I was with, the girls, but also meeting a partner that you could kind of have something in common with. We both were on a show, we found love, and then cool. We get to talk about this for the rest of our lives, or at least for however long we're together, we have that bond. So that would have been an experience on its own, is leaving with a partner. But I went on the show and I didn't expect to feel that intensely that soon. I was afraid that I was going to have to work to build a connection, which there's no way that's going to happen. So fingers crossed. And it worked out for me in that sense where I didn't have to work for the connection. It happened naturally. So I would say my number one reason to go on the show was wholly and solely for the experience of it, of, a new dating avenue, I guess. And then obviously the exposure doesn't hurt. I mean, you know, yeah. any PR is good PR. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I actually really like that take. You're like, I'm not trying to be in competition with people. I just want them to like me and that's it. Like, I'm not trying to like go work hard for this. And that's actually exactly what I saw. Of course, we very briefly talked about editing before we started recording. They could edit things however they want, but they cannot edit out an undeniable connection. And I think it was legitimately episode one where it was like all about you, like talk about main character energy. Like, yes, I am that bitch. Thank you very much. It was really between you and like one other person, but you know, really you. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about that again in a second, but I want to go back to your business just for one more second, because you are, is it, like, do I classify you as a single mom because you're co-parenting with, but that still makes you a single mom, right?
Yeah. The whole single mom thing, I honestly was thinking about this the other day. I guess I'm single and I'm a mom, so I'm a single mom, but I very much, yeah, I don't know the exact, I'd have to look up the definition.
Right.
I think single mom, I think someone who is solely taking care of their son mm-hmm. by themselves with no help from the other parent. But I mean, I am single and I'm a mom. So I'm just, yeah, I am a single mom, I guess.
Right.
But
okay.
Yeah, my son's dad is very much involved in his life. They are best friends. Like, he's very much as involved in my son's life as I am. So
do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience cravings, bloating? If so, then you need Hormone Harmony, the solution for women of all ages to maintain optimal hormone levels. It reduces bloating and discomfort and supports your mood and general well-being. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the most part, you are a single mom and you mm-hmm. are co-parenting with your son's dad, your mm-hmm. ex-husband. But the reason why I bring this up is because I coach people, I mentor, I consult people, and I talk to thousands of girls over the years and women who are single moms. And the reason why, like more or less the excuse of why they don't go after the things that they want, is because they are a single mom. They say, oh, well, because I'm a single mom, I can't do this, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I get the complete opposite from you, where it's mm-hmm. like your son is your driving force. Like your son mm-hmm. is your reason for the way that you work. Like you work super hard. Yes, because it's already in your spirit to begin with, but literally down to like naming your brand after your son, like everything, it feels like, you know, relates back to that. So what advice would you give to moms or single moms, or really just anyone in general who's on their entrepreneurship journey, who has almost like the same sort of situation as you, where they have these reasons why they can't, but you see those reasons why you have to?
I don't take no for an answer. That's just how I like live my life. And where there's a will, there's a way. And I know there's a lot of things that happen, like whether you're a single mom or not, but like limiting beliefs, like with the self-worth that I've done, like my affirmations and like my healing and, you know, all this self-development, like I just do not use the word, I can't do, like, I can't. Yeah. I don't think that way. I always think why wouldn't I do that, in the sense, like, if I want something, I focus on that. And whether it's manifesting, whether it's bringing into fruition, whether it's the law of attraction, if I want that, I make it happen. And it's because I solely focus on how I'm going to get there. and everything else kind of falls into place. So if you're thinking about the why you can't do it, then you're going to start attracting, in my experience, more reasons to why you can do it and how you can't do it. And then you start focusing solely on that. So then your goal or your you know, end point, whatever it is completely out of sight at that point. So I guess my advice would be like, just keep focusing on what you want, and everything else around that will start, you'll be able to start figuring it out, because you'll start getting ideas on how to figure it out because you're solely focused on what you want. And I understand, like I said, that there's things that happen in life, but you know, if someone else can have it, why can't you? And that's literally how I live my life. I'm like, if that person can have it, and that person can live this way, and that person can live that way, why can't I? And that's just pretty much my thought process with everything, my overall thought process on everything, dating, business, life, leisure, pleasure, everything.
Right. One of my favorite quotes that I've heard, one of my favorite sayings that I've heard from a friend, which is just what you just said just triggered that memory, was that he was like, the way you perceive blank, whatever it is, determines the reality of blank. So like the way you perceive your business is the reality that you have. So if you perceive it to be hard for you, oh, I can't. Well, then that's what's going to happen. And then when you fail, you're going to tell people, oh, it didn't work out because, you know, I have the kids and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, because you literally told yourself that,
right,
that's how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So your perception ultimately is your reality, even though, yep, perception doesn't necessarily have to be reality. It becomes your reality because, mm-hmm, you've already decided that this is too hard, or that you don't have the time, or whatever it might be. And like you said, that your son's father is very much in his life, and you do have that helping hand, which I'm sure can alleviate, you know, the stress that someone has when they don't have that kind of help. But I'm also sure that you've gone through plenty of low periods where you still kept going anyway. And like, you have to keep going, because the minute that you stop or quit, that's when you fail. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast episode out called Failure is Part of the Process, because winning, like succeeding and failing, literally the only difference is that when you fail is because you stopped, and when you win, it's because you overcame a failure. So like, winners fail too. I'm sure you have failed plenty of times along the way. I'm sure that you've invested money that you didn't see back right away. I'm sure that you've put time into something that you didn't go exactly how you wanted. Just like what I, you know, was just saying, I'm launching a brand that is over a year in the works. I thought this was going to be done 8 months ago. So, you know, like even that could be considered a failure. But the moral of the story is that I'm going to keep going. I'm going to launch my product. I'm going to do all these things to make it a win. Mm-hmm. But if I would have quit, if I would have given up by now, then it would be a failure. So, you know, that all makes total sense. You know, you just don't take no for an answer. You're not going to stop until you get the desired result, because otherwise there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And
I have two thoughts on that. So the first thought is, even my relationship with my son's father and the reason why he's so involved, had I focused solely on the downfall of our relationship and on these negative feelings and kind of let those manifest, then there would have been, I can see where there's more conflict between parents, and then you start using the child against them, and every one of your actions starts following those thoughts, right? Well, my thought was, there's absolutely no way that my son's not going to have his dad in his life, whether that means I have to put up with some stuff, which I did, and, you know, kind of lead the way, which is what happened. I led the way, and he kind of saw like, okay, yeah, she's not going to put up with any bullshit. Because for me, it was like, it's not about me at all. So whatever you're doing to me, I'm not going to take personally. We're just going to figure this out. So that was my main thought process with that relationship. I know there's, you know, other parents with other, I guess, ex-partners that aren't as, I guess, progressive or whatever in that way. But like, for me, that just was, there was just no way that I wasn't going to have that happen. And then the other thing you mentioned is your brand being like a year, I guess, in the making, and you feeling like that could be considered a failure. Like, I was meant to launch a couple of products last year, and I've been in the rebrand process for about, the designing of the rebrand process for about 9 to 10 months now, where it was supposed to only be like a 3-month project. And, you know, one is because I'm a perfectionist, but also it's because the designs and stuff, it just didn't work out the way it was. But like, that's another thing that I could have, you know, sat and, you know, wallowed in, is like, oh wow, I promised my customers, you know, a launch of products last year, but I'm like, that's just my process. And if it has, it wasn't meant to happen last year, it wasn't meant to happen. And, you know, I just finally got the final designs back and I'm working to get all that finalized so I can send off to my manufacturers. And it's put my relaunch out a year, but I'm like, there's a reason why it didn't happen last year. There's a reason why it's going to happen, whether it's this year at the end of the year or the beginning of next. It's because that's when it's going to be at its most, I guess, successful. And that's where I shift my mind there.
Every single thing happens exactly as it was meant to. There's a reason why. And that's like the quote where they say you could be grinding for 4 years with no results, and then your fifth year could be your best year yet. And like, that could be the reality of the situation. Like, we can have the most explosive launches now that it took a little bit longer, which just simply means it took a little bit more TLC, you know, just took a little bit more love and care. And that's really it, you know? So for the girls listening, you know, I always tell you, like, you have to keep going. Let this be somebody else telling you in case you're sick of hearing it from me. Okay.
Yeah, definitely keep going. Definitely keep going. That's like it's like everything in business or in life. Like, I've learned business for me, it's been great. It's just worked in my life, the way I see life, because you can't be an entrepreneur and you can't like ignore self-development. Like, you have to like constantly work on your self-development. You have to become self-aware about certain things that are putting a hindrance in yourself, because it's going to be putting a hindrance in your business. So like, I think business found me instead of me finding business, or the other way around, because I feel like that's like the best way I've been able to like become the person I am today. Obviously, also becoming a parent has made me like probably the best person I've ever been ever, because that also takes a lot of self-awareness if you're trying to raise a really good, you know, kid, which I am. And I think with being a business owner, if you are a business owner and an entrepreneur, you have to have your morning routine. You have to like be self-aware. You have to have that self-development. Like, you can't ignore those things and then expect, you know, I guess your business to flourish in a way. If not, I feel like you lose yourself in the midst of that rat race.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, you can't pour from an empty cup. So you gotta focus on you. I have to ask before we transition over to some Joe Millionaire stuff, I have to ask, is your son as like persistent as you? Like, does he not take no for an answer?
I very much harbor that. Like, I like very much like empower him to do that. So we do something called Montessori. It's like a way of education or like life. Like, we do it at home, but he's also in a bilingual Montessori school. And it just very much like, it just encourages like independence and self-resilience. And you'd have to Google what Montessori is. Like, obviously I wouldn't be able to explain it as well, but like, he's very much has a voice. Like, if he doesn't want something, he makes it clear, but obviously in a very respectful way. And I never, like, if he tells me something like, mom, I really don't want that, I never go, well, you're going to have it. I go, okay, you don't want that, that's fine. Why don't you want it? And if he's like, okay, it's because of this, I'm like, okay, that's like, I just very much like have conversations with him on the daily as if he's an adult. And I definitely push for that, like, independence and then that self-resilience. So yeah, he figures it out. That's pretty much how it is. He figures it out. That's how I want to raise him.
That's the best. I had to ask, because hearing like how strong you are in it, I'm like, all right, her son is either exactly like her or not at all.
Yes.
Now let's talk about Joe Millionaire. First, how did you end up on the show? Because similar to when I was on X on the Beach, it was season one. So this wasn't something that I actively found, because it's not like I even watched the show prior. They've reached out to me. So I don't know if that's the same case with Joe Millionaire, because this was the first season, right?
Yeah. So they reached out to me on Instagram, on my DM, and it was like January of 2021. And I thought it was a spam or scam or whatever. But what's really funny is, I don't think I've mentioned this on any other podcast just because it hasn't come up, but like, my friends, so the January 2021 is when they reached out to me, but my friends and I were drinking on an afternoon in June in 2020, and they were like, we should, this was after like 6 months after my divorce, they were like, we should nominate you for The Bachelor. And I was like, okay, cool. What is like, what's the scope of it? I, at this point, never watched The Bachelor at all. Not one episode. And they explained it to me. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Why not? And it was like 2 or 3 days later, they ended up reaching out. I was very close to going on, I think it was Matt's season of The Bachelor. Didn't work out, wasn't meant to be. But I don't know whether I was in some kind of like database or what, but they reached out to me in January. So at that point I had told them, you know, they were considering me for the next season. So I was like, I'm going to wait on The Bachelor, you know, we'll see what's going to happen with that. And they were like, this is going to be better than it's going to be better than The Bachelor. And I was like, okay, well, I waited 4 months basically. And I got back to them around April of 2021. After I got out of this situationship that I was in, and I was like, you know, are you guys still casting? And they were like, yeah, we are. They're like, can we get you on a call tomorrow, please? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then from there on, the process went on, but I didn't find out until like 4 or 5 days before, I went off to start my quarantine that I was on the show. They were waiting. They were debating between a couple of guys for the second position. And one of them apparently was more compatible with me, and the other one wasn't. So whichever one they chose was going to determine whether they were going to choose me or not. So that's why, yeah, that's why when I met him.
That is the most interesting thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. So they already had Steven set. They already had him because he was the millionaire, right? They had two guys that were debating for the second position. And then if they chose one guy that I wasn't compatible with, then obviously I wasn't going to be chosen, but the other guy that I was compatible with was chosen. Very, very interesting.
Wait, now you saying that you were more compatible with one guy, was that the guy that you...
So basically they had me build my guy from but I don't know what it was, head to toe. That's what it was, head to toe. And I built this physical appearance, and then I built what kind of like stuff they'd be into and blah, 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 blah. It's funny because the stuff that I was into, like the music and stuff, was more like Steven, but like the physical was completely him. So when I saw him, like I almost laughed out loud. I was like, these motherfuckers, I was like, they knew exactly what they were doing. Like, yeah, it was really, it was hilarious. Like, that's why I was just like, okay, this is a joke. And then when it was like, he was like with me and him, like, I don't know if he like built his girlfriend, because it was like, we both looked at each other like what's happening?
That's interesting. Like they were waiting to debate it on like you, almost like Steven, they were like giving all the girls, but then the other guy, they were like setting up to be like for you specifically.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say by contract, but that's what that's.
Well,
but honest with you, I think that like my energy and my like, you said it, my drive or whatever, like it was the fact that we had that initial connection, but it was also like, is this a joke? Like, this is exactly who I, and I even showed him a picture of someone that looked like,
I'm so dead.
Of like a, it was not a celebrity, it was like an artist or something. Yeah, it's really, I'll have to show you the picture of the artist. It's fucking, it's really
that
funny.
Is mm-hmm. That is so interesting. Wow, that is very interesting. So okay, yep. Good to know. Wow, they knew what they were doing.
Oh, they're very good at their job.
They knew what they were doing with you. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly it. You guys were literally like magnets from episode one, day one. We all saw it. There was no denying it. So me as a viewer watching from that all the way through, I felt blindsided. So I remember my mother and my grandmother, because I know you didn't watch The Bachelor at that time, but did you ever watch The Bachelor now?
So yeah. So I watched it before I went on the show. I watched, 3 or 4 seasons because I want like research.
So we like grew up watching The Bachelor. We have given up on it over the years. You made the right choice going on a different show, because we felt like it was a breath of fresh air, because we stopped watching The Bachelor years ago. But we grew up like watching it, and it was always like, who steps out of the limo first? So like that was like a big like indication. I don't remember exactly how it went on. Like I don't remember, because there was like the four of you and it just kept like bouncing around. But we are all about like whose foot is going to come out of the limo first. Mm-hmm. And then I can't remember at what timing you came out, but I do remember us, the three of us, our jaw was like, oh, there's no motherfucking way. Like, we were like, there's actually no way. Like, we were, my grandmother's like, all right, get the blonde girl off the screen. Not you, blonde. I know you're blonde, the other blonde girl. She's like, all right, let's go. Let's just like get to the point. We all were like, like,
this hype right now is making me laugh. Yeah, like, I love it.
We were so like, moral of the story is, I need to know if you were as blindsided as we were. Like, did you think that this was going to happen, or did you kind of see it coming?
I mean, yeah. So when it happened, I was like, okay, am I done? It was more like, am I done here? Like, I've done my due diligence. Like, I put up with enough bullshit. Like, I'm ready to go kind of thing. So it was like, I like when he said it, I was trying so hard not to laugh. I mean, we all watched the show, like the connections were completely different. So it's like, you chose someone because that would be more of like a twist than just going with, you know what I mean? Like, your heart. So in that aspect, I was shocked because I was just like, really? Like, all this time was wasted. Like, I could have gone home to my son. But like, after the fact, I was like, it made sense. So yeah, I was in shock, but it made sense. Does that make sense?
It's almost like he was choosing from a logistic route rather than from his heart. Cause like you're saying, like, yeah, down the line you realized it makes sense, but you literally realized that weeks, months later after like a full analysis. Like, he made that decision in a matter of like what, 24 to 48 hours. Like, it was almost as if he was instantly like, okay, logistically XYZ, this all makes sense. Mm-hmm. Even though like, I like this one more or whatever. I don't even know who liked who more, but at least for me as a viewer watching it, there was for sure a connection with both, but there was a romantic connection with one and a platonic connection with the other. Like, just for me, because I'm single and I date all different guys and I have great connections with guys, but that, you know, you can always remain good friends and like, there's really never going to be anything like too romantic. And that's what I saw with the other pair. Like, they're always like laughing. And I think he may have found her as, with absolutely no disrespect to her, she could be a wonderful person, but I think that he saw her almost as like the safer option. It was easier. And I don't mean easy anyone in the sense of like, oh, she's an easy girl. It was just easier for a guy who's simple and doesn't want to figure out life with you. Like, there's a lot to figure out with you because you were so firm and like, you're like, well, this is my life. Like, I have my ex in the picture in no other way other than the fact that like we have a child, you know, like, and you could just see that it was like things that weren't going to come easy to him. It was just like, this is a lot to handle, which
I'm so glad you watched before us getting on this call, because like, to have to explain this to you is harder, but like, the fact that you watch it from a viewer's perspective, like, and you got that much even through all of the cuts and edits and stuff. Like, it just is, I'm just sitting back and listening, like nodding my head. Cause I'm like, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You could just tell. And I was a viewer who actually really thoroughly enjoyed the show. So like, I get invested into things when I care, like when I can connect with it, because if I didn't like the show, I would have given up in two episodes, but I went all the way through because I'm like, I'm going to watch this like fairy tale unfold. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, like, it just was becoming very adamant that he was not a complex individual. He was a much simpler individual than you, with saying that in the nicest way possible. Like, you have more layers to you from what I can see. And I think that it really intimidated him. Anyway, okay, so I get it. So you were shocked, but it all ultimately made sense. And I'm assuming like that was that the end of it for you guys, or was there ever anything after?
Yeah, there was. I mean, as predicted, he definitely reached out to me after they broke up, and we definitely spoke after. And I think that it all worked out how it was supposed to work out. When people refer to the show, they're like, oh, did you win or did you not? And I'm like, there's no winning with this. It's like, you leave with someone if you're compatible with them or not compatible with. So basically it wasn't going to happen. Like, it wasn't going to work out after, and it played out exactly how it was supposed to. He did me a favor by not choosing me. Like you said, it was just, he's wanted something completely different. He wanted something very simple, easy, surface level. And I live life, and like, my main focus is like to have fun with the person I'm dating, with the people in my life. But like, there has to be more to that. And we talked afterwards, and it just wasn't, there was no more to that. And that's where I leave it at that. And I kind of had to cut ties at that point.
That's interesting. You know, seeing it, I think also like seeing it in real life versus like seeing it like in a moment where like emotions are heightened, and now like you're seeing it from a place of like, you know, you're like,
when you're filming, you're in a bubble, which, you know, kind of helps the whole, you know, you're falling in love thing. But when you are out, you're like talking to your friends about it and you're thinking about it, and there's no like sitting in an interview and like, you know what I mean? I wish him the best. I don't know what his intentions were coming on the show, but like whatever happened. And it's just a very different situation. I think that's something that we both have an understanding, is like the whole experience. We know what it was inside and out.
How did that breakup make you feel though in the moment? Like, were you, we'll talk about in a second about how strong you were, but like, would you say that you just instantly, because like you said to him, like, can I go? Like, you know, you showed that you were just over it, but were you like sad? Like, how did you feel about that?
I think I was more angry than I was sad. I wasn't sad because I'm like, I've been there, done that. I've been through a divorce. Like, I've had to leave someone that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with because it wasn't serving me or my son. It just wasn't a healthy relationship at all. So it wasn't like the sad part. It was just more of like confusion and shock and anger in the, if you've known my story from the very beginning, like literally from our first conversation, you knew my story, where I came from and what I've been through in a sense, what I come with. And it took you this long to make that decision. And he could have done me the favor of sending me home to my son. And I think that's what it was for me in that moment. It was just more like, I know my worth. I am who I am. This is my story. This is my life. And I wish we would have been able to kind of delve into more conversation away from cameras. But if you can't see my worth for what I am, then like, it was nice meeting you. Like, I wish you the best of luck and peace.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it was.
You know, I didn't even watch the show back. I've only watched it one time, and I can still remember the scene. Like, I remember you getting in the car and saying like, if he was that insecure the whole time, then like, this wasn't meant to be. So how did you always have that mindset with guys, or was this after doing some, like a lot of the inner work, like you talked about?
Yeah. I mean, I think by this point I had done so much inner work. Like, I had, you know, I've dated before, and then I've had to like, and things with guys, and I've been very straightforward. I've been lucky that because I've done my self-development work, I haven't done any of the ghosting or any of that. Like, I'm able to tell a guy straight up, like, it's not going to work because of this. And I'm hoping we can still remain friends. So I'm just very like, I'm just like sure of myself. I know what I bring to the table. I know who I am. I know how great of a person I am, how great of a friend, how great of a mother, that I'm like, if that didn't show through, then fair enough. Like, this is kind of where I leave off. I'm like, this, it wasn't enough because you were that, I guess, unsure, insecure. That's on you. That's not on me. So like, I'm done here. And that's pretty much where that comes from.
Yeah. I love that. I always say like, I only want what wants me. I don't like guys who don't like me back. Anything that doesn't want me, I don't want either. I don't even consider it as rejection. I'm just like, oh, okay,
right.
So then this is it, not.
Exactly. It's like, it wasn't even like a rejection. It was more of like a,
validation from the
universe.
Like, it was like, just oh, like thank you.
Right, exactly. So
yeah, okay, so to wrap this up, because you know you have such a great mindset when it comes to personal and professional, now tell me, what advice would you have for girls or women who also felt like, you know, this would have been it, like, you know, you went through a divorce and you also met someone else, that's great, so it's like you felt like this is going to be the relationship. This is going to be it. And then it doesn't work out. A lot of girls really don't recover from that. So what kind of advice would you be able to give on that?
Again, my mentality might be kind of unicorn on this. Like, I'm just a hopeless romantic. So like, for me, it's like, I never will. And I never have given up on love. Like, there's someone for somebody out there, like for anyone pretty much. And for me, it's like, that's every relationship or any dating situation or whatever. I see it as a lesson. So I'm like, what did I learn about myself from dating that person? And for me, it's like every lesson that I learned from that failed relationship or that, you know, whatever, I see it as like, it's just getting me closer to refining myself to be able to attract that person who is for me. Again, that's a shift in mindset. I don't see it as like, oh my God, that didn't work out, so I'm never going to find love. It's more of like, that didn't work out. What did I learn from that? And how is that going to make me a better person for the person that I'm meant to be with? And that's just pretty much how I see it. I'm like, you know, I did love my ex-husband, obviously, but he just wasn't the one for me. Like, he just very clearly wasn't. And there was a lot of healing that I needed to do to see that. And when I finally saw it, I made the decision I needed to make. And I think a lot of my self-assurance and like confidence comes from me having to take that big of a step and make that big of a decision. And people don't really see that. It's like, oh yeah, it's a failed relationship or a failed marriage. But for me, I see it as how much and how much strength it took for me to have to walk away. And I see it as like, that's like such a big feat for me, because I'm like, within that marriage and, you know, the age I was, I was like broken in a sense. So for me to make that decision, it was like the start of like my healing and like getting put back together and being the person who I am meant to be today. I'm more me today than I've ever been. And like, that's because of decisions and, you know, the decisions I've made.
Yeah. So good. So good. It's so true, because, you know, I think that a lot of people, you kind of hit the nail on the head when you're saying like, every time that it doesn't work out with someone, you become more of you. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think so many people, every time it doesn't work out with someone, they become less of themselves because they feel less about themselves. They think less about themselves. Like, when is it going to be my turn? How come no guy is the guy for me? Whatever the case is. You know, I've been single through pretty much most of my adulthood. I've dated a lot of guys. I've met a lot of guys, but all pretty much short-term relationships, nothing too serious. And every single different relationship I go through, like, it's just like, okay, well, this is something I know I'll never accept again. This right. is something that, you know, I almost am like, I can't believe that I didn't see that the first time around. Mm-hmm. Now I know. So every time that you experience a relationship or meet someone that shows you something that doesn't necessarily feel good, it's more or less just showing you what you don't want. And that's mm-hmm. still a lesson.
Right.
So it has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with it just not being meant to be, which I think is the most important thing. So tell everybody where they can find you, your brand, how can they shop Lion and Loki, and yeah, just share all your socials.
So all of my socials is Caro Estef. So it's CAROESTEPH. And it's actually my first name and my middle name cut short. So Carolyn Estefany, Caro Estef. My Instagram is more of like my lifestyle, like my trips, everything here and there. TikTok is more of like the funny side of me. My website for my skincare is lionandloki.com. lionandloki.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.